So, hey, NeedleJet fans, welcome back. In this podcast, I am going to be talking about the training department. So, here is a warning to you. There'll be a lot of cursing because, like I just said, I'll be talking about the training department, which I used to be a part of, which was, at a lot of times, ridiculous. So, you've been warned. Titled, I was in the training department. Now, I know the title says, I was in the training department. Not all of it was bad. Not most of it was bad. But towards, like, the last year or so, it was So that I had enough. And that's why I had to quit. Yeah, I had to quit that department. You know what? I wonder if these damn fire engines are going into this mic. Let me see. Yeah, so anyways, yeah, I was in the training department of my airline's flight attendant training, of course, because I am a flight attendant. At one point, I had three titles: flight attendant, air transportation supervisor. Hey, that's what the FAA calls it. And also, air transportation ground instructor. Now, the difference, so we're going to use the acronyms. Air transportation supervisor is ATS, and air transportation ground instructor is ATGI. So I'll be using those two on and off throughout the rest of this podcast. So basically, what an ATS is that once you get... No, let me scroll back. So as an ATGI, you are providing ground instruction in a classroom setting for about 4 weeks at my regional aircraft, because we only have one aircraft. Now, mind you, when we used to have the Dash 8, the de Havilland Dash 8, our new hire, this is new hire ground training, was 3 weeks. When we got the additional aircraft, our Embraer 145, a.k.a. the NeedleJet, our new hire training was 4 weeks. When we lost the Dash, okay, because we had two aircraft, different types of aircraft, different groups of aircraft, group one and two, operating at the same time, and we were a dual aircraft flight attendant. Remember, it was 4 weeks. Now, when we lost the Havilland Dash 8, our new hire ground training remained at 4 weeks, I believe. So I'm like, why is it 4 weeks? Well, you need that extra week when you lost the aircraft. You're only down to one type of aircraft that you fly, that you operate. I don't know why, but that's how it is. So, but anyway, as a ground instructor, an ATGI, you're in a ground room, classroom setting with desks. You got a big, either an overhead monitor for your PowerPoints and things like that, or you're using a large, you should be using a large, large television for that. Okay. So I did that. I did that for 3 years, the ground instruction. Not completely all ground instruction, but along with being basically, yeah, like I said, I held on three roles. I was a working flight attendant, because when we got the new aircraft, only like the trainee flight attendants could operate the new aircraft, which was the Embraer 145, because we had to get everybody else trained and get them qualified to operate it. So as a flight attendant, an ATS, because even as a ground instructor, they'll still might send you out to do the one-on-one training after ground school, and operating as an ATGI. So I did all three of those roles at once for 3 years. Now, mind you, I had been an ATS, that type of supervisor. That as a total of, it was almost 10 years. I had done that for a while. and not to toot my own horn, I had a pretty good reputation for doing that. I was always consistently assigned doing that because I get them trained, signed off, and they'd be good to go. And even with, like, other pilots would, like, ask the new hire, like, who was your ATS? Who did your one-on-one training? And they would say my name. They'd be like, oh, okay, you're good. Which, you know, that got back to me, and I was like, cool. But, and I enjoyed it for a while, but, yes, I did not remain in this training department. And there's reasons why. But we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, in ground school, I did like it at first. I mean, in itself, the ground instruction, me with either new hires. Now, recurrent is a little different. Yes, recurrent is a little different. That can turn into a damn talk show, a complaining session. But we'll talk about that later, too. But with new hires, it was pretty much, I liked it. I liked the interaction, the instruction itself. The thing is, as a ground instructor, you're going to work with another ground instructor, and that's when the battle might begin. Battle of personalities, battle of control, who leads, who doesn't, things like that. Now, I just want to say, when I got into that position, the training, I know my company. I've been in this company, like I said, 20 plus years. I know how the sausage is made. We've seen it. We absorb it. We know how they are, okay? And for, I don't know, 80% of it, they're professional. The other 20% really sticks you when they're not, or they just put out crap. But I would say the training for me to be an ATGI coming from my company was, some of it was a bit crap. Some of it was like, what the, you know what I mean? Because I remember going through that whole training process and that first year of being a ground instructor, I was thinking like, I think three times I might consider quitting. I was like, oh my God, I need to get it together. So I just went off on a rant here, but I'm still talking about the training department. When we had the one-on-one training, there was a point in the training where we did ground school and we had PowerPoints and it talked about the position and what you're supposed to do. That was okay. Now, one of those instructors for that class, that guy has a mouth on him and he doesn't think before he speaks. Now, as far as him giving the ground instruction on the things he's supposed to instruct, he was good at that because he had been doing that for years. But when the other snide comments and side comments come out of his mouth that don't really need to be said, they don't, but he says them, they can come off a little very rude and disconcerting. Okay, so for example, we were just doing a practice run. And it was just a practice, okay? And he was very impressed with the person before because they were like really performing or whatever. And I get up and do my thing. This is my first time kind of doing it in that group setting. And I'm just reading what it is. You know, you got to get a feel for this stuff. And he comes off with a criticism as if like, I should know better and I've been doing this for years. No, idiot. This is like a little test run just to get a little practice of what you're supposed to do. But yeah, I can say that it hurt my feelings a little bit because it was just like, Jesus Christ. Like, dude, I just got up here 5 seconds ago. I haven't been doing it for years. It takes a little bit of rhythm and maybe a couple of weeks to kind of getting your own feel for it and your personality coming out to present the information that needs to be sent out to your class, to your new hire employees, to your recurrent employees, whatever. So, in my opinion, he was a little bit harsh on someone that's just brand new to that. But there's personalities like that. So you do your ground stuff, and then this is me training for the ATGI position. And you know what? I'm thinking about this podcast now, thinking it was going to be like one podcast, but clearly what I went through and the trauma and the anger or whatever, it's going to be a part two. Sorry. So anyway, back to that. Now, after that, you do like a observation class with an actual instructor that has an actual class, and you sit with them and you watch them, but they're supposed to show you some things as you go along. Now, that was contentious. It was very odd. The one instructor, he had seemed very threatened by us new hire ATGIs, which didn't make any sense. They needed all the ATGIs they could get because they had to retrain the entire flight attendant group. Well, of course, obviously retrain the entire pilot group. They're getting a different aircraft. And so you don't want to be doing it all yourself with just a few instructors, because that will be hell and exhausting. So why wouldn't you be welcoming to the very new instructors coming on board and helping them get it so it can lighten your load, friend? But we'll talk about that more later. So anyway, he just seemed to be very secretive. He taught the class, which is what he was supposed to do, and we were observing. So on a break or so, when we had some light time, I would ask, well, how does this work, or how does this work? And some of it he showed us freely, and some of it he just didn't want us to show us. It's like, these are things we have to know. You're supposed to show us. And then, like, we needed some information printed out. It's for the instructor, but you have two training instructors here. Print it out for them, too, to see. He only wanted to print out one because it's like he didn't want us to see it. And it was just so strange. But I talked to the head of the training department, and she had said, like, I think he feels threatened by you guys, but he's leaving for another department, which was the scheduling department. And I'm like, if he's leaving for another department, he's leaving the training department, going to the scheduling department, what the hell is he threatened by? Like, that makes no sense. But apparently, I will say this, he was very good at ground instruction. I thought he was really good. I gave him a compliment about that. I was like, you did it. I mean, that class was kind of crazy, and they were really obnoxious people you had in there, and you handled it really well. I said, I think you're a really good ground instructor. I meant that from my heart. I meant every word I said. I was like, I'm very impressed. He was like really, really insecure and couldn't really take the compliment. And I'm like, wow. And you want to stay in this department and you don't even think you're that great? I'm like, honestly, he was really good. Because let me tell you, that group was something else. But anywho, we handled it really well. His presentation, the clarity of the information he gave out. He was well-rounded as a ground instructor. I was really impressed by him. But what I wasn't impressed by, the fact that he tried to, like, keep us out of the loop. Things that we're supposed to know. And learning from him, he didn't want to teach us. He was trying to hide the information. I was like, what the hell? That is so strange. So strange. And I must say, this podcast is very therapeutic for me. Running my mouth right now. But this is all my experience, what I went through. But anyway, I just thought that was so strange. You're leaving for another department. Why are you acting like this? But part of him really enjoyed it too. So, I mean, that was sad in a sense. But I think they had told him that, hey, you can't do all ground instruction all the time. You're going to have to get out there and do work the line. And I think working the line for him, when I say working the line, working a flight attendant schedule, being an actual flight attendant with passengers, right? And every time he had to get back on working the line a little bit, because to keep himself current and fresh when he goes back into the classroom. And he did not want to be on the line at all. I think he had some health issues. So, like, being in the classroom worked out well for his health issues, and he could manage his health better. That's why he didn't want to be out on the line. So he opted to go to the scheduling department, which he only did that for a little bit, and then I didn't hear from him again. So I guess he may have retired or quit the company. But yeah, that's part of it. That was really strange. Then, you know, the head of training department, we'll call her Becky. Becky was like, hey, I'm going to reschedule you another observation ground school, because I didn't think that one went very well for you. So I'll have you meet up with Brian, Brian's going to be your ground instructor and you can like observe him. Now, let me tell you, that was so much better. Brian was doling out all the information. Like, he was a great ground instructor, good presentation. He was clarity of thought. Everything came through to the ground class. Brian also wasn't trying to hide shit from us. He was like, yo, this, he just put us into it. Yeah, get out there and do it. Okay, this is what you need to do for this, and you'll need to learn how to do this. And he wasn't hiding shit, biatch. He was showing us that, oh, not that I remembered everything, but I got exposed to it. And it was fantastic. I was like, yo, I went and bought him a salad and shit. I was like, thank you so much. It was like a gift card at like Subway or something. It was like, yo, that was just my own personal thing. Because I was like, thank you for like teaching me and not trying to keep secrets from me. He was fantastic. That's what I needed. So with what was going on with the other experience, that was some personal issues that was kind of like traumatized or thrown onto us because he didn't want to leave the department. But okay, whatever. I got the second observation one. That turned out great. I learned a lot. And it was great. Now, when you get into the flow of things, where problems may come in is like with ground school, having all these different personalities. And I'm talking about the new hire flight attendants that are gaining the instruction from you, and as well as current employees, which we go through recurrent. So those of you out there, I'm not for sure who my audience is. I wanted it to be a mix. Who cares if other flight crews are listening to this? That's great. I'll take you. But also, this is for the general public that knows nothing about the aviation industry, nothing about the flight attendant behind the scenes, other than what you see us in our little kitchen and sitting on our little bench. You may have no idea that we have to have recurrent training. Like, once you're hired, a year later, you always have to go back to training. It's annual. Same thing for the pilots. Like, yes, same thing for the pilots. Same things for our airline mechanics. Our airplane mechanics, they have recurrent too. Okay? As you should. You're going to have to refresh this information. There's new things that, this is the aviation industry. Things change all the time. The FAA will change something at will when they want to. And you got to acclimate to that. Those new FARs, Federal Aviation Regulations, whatever they may be. So that is this industry. But I was talking about the students, whether it's new hire or current company employees. There's going to be a difference. I noticed that when I taught recurrent with current employees, that can turn out to be a damn bitch fest about, you know, the anger with the company or the mergers. Now, I've been through 3 mergers. We'll talk about that later. Am I going to name the merger and the airlines? Hell to the no. This is an anonymous podcast, so I won't be doing that. But you might figure it out. Anyway. Yes, recurrent turns into a bitch fest, okay? Because these are you'll have anywhere from somebody who may have been here for a year to people that have been here for 10, 20 years, and that can be a bitch fest. Like I said, we've been through a lot. Mergers, new aircraft, dealing with other employees, may bitch about the pilots, whatever. Or galleys. Galleys are a contentious issue here at this airline.
It is ridiculous how nasty and inconsiderate and just these flight attendants leave these galleys for each other. It sucks.
But things like that, that's what recurrent may turn into. Now, new hires, there's not too much for them to bitch about because most, or I would say 75% of them are new to the whole airline and commercial airline industry. We do have new hires that come that may have been hired that some experience as a flight attendant with another airline or another couple of airlines for that matter. So they might say some things, but usually our ground school will nip that shit in the bud real quick. Like, though they're usually warned, but even more so, sometimes we have new hires that they work for our company, but they were in another position. For example, they may have been our ground staff, they may have worked the ramp, or they may, it used to be a gate agent or what have you. So then they decide they want to be a flight attendant. So sometimes they come in with that information or add things that don't need to be added in because we got to keep it about flight attendant training. And that can be a serious issue. And those people, we have to shut them down quick. Like, hey, don't make this about the ramp. Don't make this about the gate. We are here for new hire flight attendant training. And I need you to stop interjecting information from those other two groups because you're throwing the class off. Okay? So that could be an issue. Now I want to talk about having two ground instructors together in the classroom. Now, I work on the Needlejet, aka the Embraer 145. And please don't be offended when I say the Needlejet. It's just a joke. It's the shape of it. It's long and narrow. And I work on it, so I can call it whatever the hell I want to. But it is tight. It's very tight. Okay? And we are a one flight attendant operating aircraft. We operate at part 121. I'll explain that later. But one flight attendant is the ratio. So there's one flight attendant per 50 passengers. If your aircraft seats more than 50, you're going to have two flight attendants. If your aircraft seats more than 100, let's say you get it, some Airbus, whatever the hell it is, or Embraer, whatever the hell it is. If you got 120 seats on an aircraft, you're going to have three flight attendants. If you have 75 seats on an aircraft, well, it's more than 50. It's not exactly 100. You're going to have two flight attendants. That is the Federal Aviation Regulation on that. Okay? So we have one flight attendant. And maybe you've been working at a regional for 10 years. You're used to the one flight attendant operation. You bring those two personalities, those two flight attendants that are one single operating flight attendant together in a classroom where they have to work with someone else, that can be a battle, war, and nuclear annihilation.
Oh my God.
Don't get me started. Yeah, that could be pretty bad. And that's because you're used to doing your own thing. Used to being your one-woman show. Used to being in control because you are the one flight attendant. Now you have to share that power with someone else. That can be
hell.
Freaking hell. And then you may have one flight attendant instructor that's one ATGI that's weaker than the other in knowledge or personality or lack of detail or organization, which I could not stand. We had some ATGIs that operated in a very messy way. I don't like that. I need organization when I work so I can find things quick and easy and access them. They seem to work in a crazy mess. That can be very clashing. Very clashing. But anyways, yeah. So you bring those two very strong-willed, independent, domineering together, there's going to be a clash. It just really is. And there has been. I got into it with this one HEGI. I don't even think that's what that was with her. She's just a fucking bitch. A religious bitch at that. It's always, in my opinion, in my experience in life, seems like the one most holier-than-thou church-going person is like the most evil piece of crap on the planet. The most wicked biatch you have ever met. And the most confrontational one. Yeah, bitch, you need Jesus for real. Okay? It's always those ones, in my opinion.
In my opinion.
In my opinion.
But you can have those clashes. I mean, me and this woman got into it. Now, I like to take the professional route. I may be mad at somebody else, but I'm not going to throw that onto the classroom. And I'll wait and talk to the other person. We're not going to have it out in front of these people because that's not how I operate. She thought she was going to operate a different way. I wasn't having it. So, once everybody left, we got into it. I told him, like, look, I don't like you, but I've tried to be professional and get along so we can get things done.
Because you, I don't personally give a crap about.
You can go kick rocks, for all I care. She made some comment about, I don't like you either, da-da-da-da. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't really care, because I don't like you. But you need to be professional and stop having these outrageous outbursts in front of them, because you look like a lunatic. And she said something else behind it. And I just told her, I think I might have said I hated her guts. Which I kind of do. Well, no, that's it takes too much energy to hate.
But I can't stand that bitch.
Until this day, I can't stand that bitch. But that's how we got into it. I can't even remember about what. It was something minor. But I think something else was going on with her. You never know what's going on in other people's heads. Whether it's jealousy or, like I said, that other ground instructor, he was threatened by us for whatever reason. Because he wanted to stay in his position. But we weren't taking anything away from him. It's just that he wasn't willing to go back out on the line. So, there you have it. But anyway, there is more to talk about in this podcast. And I'm going to end it here. And please don't forget about checking out part 2 of this podcast, because I have way more to talk about. Toodles.